From the Altoa Marine Corps Air Station, this is Marine Staff Sergeant Bob Vandywalker interviewing Sergeant Ramon Gomez, who just returned from Vietnam of July 1965. Ramon, what organization were you with in Vietnam?
I was with Maintenance Company, 3rd Service Battalion, FLSG.
Now, what did this company consist of?
Mostly maintenance, logistic group. It would consist of ordnance, engineers, electronics, and motor T maintenance.
Now, what was the other jobs, for example, Orton, what was their job in your organization?
To maintain support of the other units around or in Vietnam.
Now, we're talking about ordnance. We're not talking about bombs. We're talking about people who repair ordnance or what?
People who repair ordnance, people who repair engineer equipment, people who repair radios and telephones. And
in other words, these particular people, these other organizations along with you, would fly out of there by helicopter, repair different pieces of equipment in other organizations.
Right. They would be requested, and we would furnish people, personnel, to go and repair.
Now, what outfits were you supporting, do you know?
All the Marines around Vietnam.
Infantry?
Infantry, just everything that in general.
What, for example, what were some of the outfits?
Well, 9th Marines, 3rd Marines. We had engineers, 7 engineers, 3rd engineers. We had then brigade come in from Hawaii, and we support them.
Now, how far were some of these away from your organization, some of these other units?
Well, the units were from Phu Bai was about approximately 40 miles, and Chu Lai was approximately 45 miles.
And you were stationed at where?
At Da Nang.
Now, how did you go out and repair? Say they called on somebody in maintenance, truck maintenance. How did they get those people up there?
By helicopters.
They flew them up there by helicopter.
Right. Either the Army or the Marine helicopters.
On a day-to-day basis, what was an average day? Did you do in an average day? What was your job?
I was an automatic mechanic. I repaired trucks, and we had quite a few trucks come in for repair. And I drove a wrecker, pick up disabled vehicles around Da Nang.
Now, you also unloaded ships, too?
When they needed my assistance, I would go and help them out.
I should say, well, your organization was involved in unloading.
Right.
Now, how did this work? Where did you have to go, and how long was it, and so forth, Ramon?
Well, we had to go from Da Nang to the ramp where it was in Monkey Mountain, and we would help them unload and, furnish whatever they would use, whatever they need, we would furnish.
Well, now, what difficulties, if any, were involved in? How many miles are we talking about now?
Oh, I would say about 12 miles.
Now, is there any difficulties as far as crossing roads or?
There was a river that we had to cross, and they used a ferry, and this ferry was at all times overloaded. We had 2 ferries, and they carried 4 trucks empty, and coming back loaded. Depends on the load. If it was ammunition or whatever it was, there was overload. I mean, there was heavy load. They would put 3 on a ferry.
Now, this ferry was operated by who?
By the Army Vietnamese.
Now, what would be the longest time you'd have to wait? Say maybe 8 trucks came up. How long would you have to wait to get on them?
Oh, I'd say about half an hour to 45 minutes.
Is this the longest you ever had to wait?
No, we had more trucks. We had, at times, we had about 40 trucks online, and we would have to wait. Depends on whereabouts you were parked on the line.
Now, this was the only way of getting from?
We had a bridge, but the only vehicles that could go across this bridge was from quarter-ton pickups down to small.
Now, we're talking about 40 trucks backed up. Now, how long would this involve? Say the man was about 30 trucks back. How many hours are we talking about trying to use this ferry?
Oh, I would say it would take about an hour or so for the last truck to get.
In other words, they could get 40 trucks across this ferry in about 2 hours?
Yes, both ferries operated. I would say 2 hours, 40 trucks.
All right, now what kind of a port did we have down there where these trucks went down to pick up the supplies?
It was just a ramp. It was a cement-built ramp, and they had the LSD comes all the way into the ramp and unload, where the APAs and AKAs, they would be unloaded by LCUs.
And then they would bring them in and put them under a truck?
Right, unload them by forklift from Chow Party, I mean with Chow Party personnel. Chow Party would unload and do all the...
Now this particular shore party stayed right in this area?
They stayed right there.
What kind of quarters are they in? How did they live down there?
They lived just the same as us in tents. And they, at times they eat their rations and sometimes they had hot meals.
Now how about up in Da Nang where you were? How was it set up there as far as meals and kitchens?
Well, we had mess halls. We had mess halls built with tents. And we had hot meals every day when we got set up. But at first we had sea rations until we set up mess hall.
Did you ever have any problems at all of the roads being bombed out that you traveled?
No, the roads were pretty rough, but they could be movable. I mean, the vehicle could move on them, just like...
But at no time, to your knowledge, they were ever bombed to work?
No, not to my knowledge.
How about weather-wise? How did they stand up?
The weather, when we first got there, was pretty hot. We weren't used to the weather. Well, it wasn't the same as Okinawa. It's a little different. And we had quite a bit of rain at times it was dry. We had to water our roads in order to see the truck in front of us.
Because
of
the dust.
Because of the dust, right.
Now, how did the truck stand up?
Well, the trucks, at say at 20 miles an hour, they would stand pretty good. But other than 20 miles an hour, they would tear up.
How about the heat affecting heating them up?
No, the heat wouldn't affect them. It was just right.
Was there any particular vehicles we had over there in the Marine Corps that were had more problem ones than other vehicles?
No. All the problem we had was the torque rods, which they would come off. That torque rod holds the axle together, both rear axles. Keep them online, and then they got rubber bushing. And this rubber bushing, with the impact of the road on a wheel, will pop them out. And that would go...
How hard a job is to return to repair this particular...
Well, it's a matter of half an hour job or an hour, but parts, if we had the parts.
How about a difficulty on getting parts for the trucks, was there?
We had difficulty at first, and then after that, parts started coming in. When I left Vietnam, we were getting supplies pretty regularly.
Ramon, what other truck companies did you support down there?
We supported Ninth Motors.
Who's this at?
At Da Nang. We supported Third Engineers. We supported Service Battalion, Third Motors, Recon, and the Air Wing at times. But they did their own maintenance. But what they couldn't, they would send it out to us.
Now, how about the gasoline for the trucks?
We had plenty of fuel. We had plenty of fuel. We had plenty of oil.
How was it stored?
On rubber tanks on the ground.
How much fuel do you usually have, say, on an average day in there? What would be the, a minimum or maximum amount you usually kept in there?
I couldn't tell you. We had quite a few fuel dumps around.
Now, how was this controlled? When your trucks went up to be filled up with gas, was it signed out or what?
Right. Each truck would fill out and sign his name and the amount of gallons that they had used.
Now, when you went on a trip, or the trucks went on a trip, did they have to have other people besides drivers to protect them?
Yes. We had an A driver, which was qualified as a shotgun or...
He would ride shotgun.
Right.
He could drive both, in other words, competent besides a driver.
Yes. No, just the driver and an A driver, which he was acting as a shotgun and qualified as a driver and as a shotgun also.
All right. How about any weapons mounted on the back of these trucks? You have any...
Truck company did. We didn't. We barely went out out of the perimeter. We were maintenance.
Did you have any problem delivering these supplies where you might have pilferage along the way or anything like this?
No. Around where at Da Nang, we would load the trucks out, drive up to the hill, and where the units was, unload them, come back. We didn't have no trouble there. The trouble was to get in from Fubai to Chulai. We had to have air transportation to get there.
No roads?
No roads. Now there were roads, but they were all out of construction. I mean, there were bridges out that had been bombed. Or
in other words, this particular route then was bombed out. Is this right? These particular roads?
Right.
How far was it would be the furthest you could drive with your truck now in other directions? What, in different directions from the base?
We could go up to this hill. I don't remember, was it 227, and all around there, back up to this hill, Monkey Mountain, where this boat ramp was, and around town. That's all.
Now, while you were in Da Nang, were you ever under fire there at any particular time?
Well, no, not actually under fire. We were hit by Viet Congs on July the 1st at the airfield. And
can you explain what happened? This happened night, day, or when, and what happened?
It happened at 11 o'clock at night. And I didn't know what was going on until I was wide awake. And it didn't take long for the spider planes to get up in the air and start throwing illumination so we can see what was going on. They they destroyed two C-130s, I mean three C-130s, and about three or four F-103 fighters.
Did they get in your media area?
No, we were about, say, about 200 to 300 yards away from where they hit.
Did they use any of your people to go over there?
We had, they used the LVTs, well, the Amtraks. They used them to go across the river to catch up with them. And, of course, the artillery opened up when the spotter plane spotted the Viet Cong and called in artillery, and the artillery was the one that accomplished that mission.
Did you have any Vietnamese people working on the base?
Yes, we were among the Vietnamese inside the base in Da Nang. They had their own armor company and their recon company and their army company.
Well, how about civilian workers? Did we have any?
We started having civilian workers in the mess hall at the washing our clothes, and they were doing a pretty good job of it.
Do you feel that if you wanted to go back to Vietnam on your own, would you like to go back?
Yes, and some respect, right.
Do you feel that you learned a lot in Vietnam?
I did learn about the personnel. I learned a little about the people. I wasn't there long enough to learn too much about the people.
Do you think the morale was good over there?
Yes, the morale was pretty good. We had the morale pretty high, and then, you know, like any other place, it start dropping and going up and deviates.
Up and down, right?
Up and down, right.
Now, you had a lot of young, being a sergeant and young troopers under you, do you feel that they felt they had a job to do over there, were doing it?
Yes, we were always concerned about the vehicles that come in and try to put them out as soon as we possibly could. And, they were really putting out those people.
Did you get a chance to talk to people in the ordnance and the other organizations there?
Oh, yes.
And what was the feeling there, the same?
The same. Our mission was to get things ready for the unit around us. And we did the best we could. And it was It was great. It was working fine.
Sergeant Gomez, what did you have for recreation in the area?
Well, we built a club. Our own people put in, and we built, we pick up lumber here and there, and we start building a club there. We build a club, and and we open it after working hours until 10 o'clock at night, and then closed it up. We had a record player, you know, and we had we had a sandwich board that we had there, and we got the...
You have to pay for your chow?
Yeah, 10 cents a hamburger and 15 cents a soda, like that. We got our supplies from the Army, the meat we got from the Army, the cheese and all that. The bonds was made from for us from the Vietnamese in town. We had a family that was making bonds for us.
Well, this was an approved. In other words, these were clean people that you eat their food, right?
Right, right.
Now, when you went out to probably visit the troops in the field with your trucks and so forth. While you were out there, was there any particular thing that you had at Da Nang that they didn't have in the field that they would have liked?
Yes, our club especially, because our club, we had everything in it. We used bamboos, and we had it fixed real nice. We had chow, which other clubs didn't have. We were always supplied. We ran out of things. We would go in town and buy it and get it. For the troops, with the troops, were real happy about that club.
Now, this particular club, who could go to it? PSCs, corporals, lance corporals, staff, everybody, or what?
No, staff had their own. This was E5 and down.
And this was built all by yourself.
All by the company itself.
And this is only, and the only people. This was the maintenance company. This ordnance people didn't come over or anything.
No, like this the ordnance was maintenance.
I see.
And electronic was maintenance. Engineer was maintenance. All the maintenance. It was all in one area, all one command. In other words, electronic was command by motor T, command by it was all command by one commanding officer.
I see. What type of security did you have around the area?
We had listening posts. We had walking posts. We had all around security. And plus, we had the infantry. Around on
the outer perimeter. Well, now, how did the duty work out? Now, the man would drive the truck would stand duty at night, too?
No, we had only a few truck drivers. We had, let's say, maybe about 10 truck drivers, that's all. The rest of them were maintenance personnel, and they would stand their normal duties.
Was there a shortage of personnel there, you think, in the job amount of job you had to do?
When we first started, yes. After that, no. We start getting personnel in, and I thought we were real good.
Well, thank you very much, Sergeant Gomez. Where's your hometown at, Sergeant Gomez?
I live in Raymondsville, Texas.
And who are your folks, and where do they live there?
My mother is Maria C. Gomez, and she lives in Raymondsville.
Is there an address?
She just lives there and don't deliver.
This is just a small town, right?
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Sergeant Gomez.